New studies from the Center for American Progress and the National Education Association point to what some are calling a diversity gap in American schools. The studies show that while student populations are growing more and more racially diverse, the teaching pool isn't changing at a pace that reflects that reality. Good morning and welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. In the second half of today's show, we'll be exploring what accounts for this so-called diversity gap and why it matters. We'd love to hear from local parents of color on this subject. Do your children have opportunities to learn from teachers who look like them? Does that matter to you? If so, why? And if not, why not? Call us at 816-235-2888 to weigh in. That number again is 816-235-2888. Our guest is Dr. Eva Tucker Nevels. She's the District Coach of Professional Learning for the Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Dr. Tucker, tell me a little bit about yourself. What was your own education like and how did it shape you?
Yes, I am a product of Kansas City, Kansas Public School. I entered preschool in our district a long time ago, over 30 years ago. I fell in love with my kindergarten teacher, Miss Taylor. She was beautiful, and I just remember being in her classroom and just adoring her. The way she walked, talked, she looked like me. She even smelled really good, too. So I knew then that I wanted to be a teacher. So I completed my educational from kindergarten, preschool, all the way up to 12th grade here in KCK. Went away to college, came back to the district to teach kindergarten. So that's how important my experience in education and been raised in this district and the educational opportunity impacted me so much that I became a teacher.
Well, what are you seeing now in Kansas City, Kansas in particular?
Well, what I'm seeing now is that many of our teachers don't look like our students. And we have a variety of different teachers in our classroom from different culture, different ethnicity. However, most of our children are children of color, and that's increasing over every year. It's increasing.
We've heard about this national study, and I'm looking at a state-by-state breakdown that shows the problem being relatively, and I mean relative to other states, not so bad in Missouri and a little more pronounced in Kansas. From the ground, so to speak, what does that situation actually look like to you? How is it playing out in classrooms?
Well, what it's playing like out in classroom is that as a district administrator, we need to address those issues because the teachers that we are hiring, if they don't look like our children, how do we give them the professional learning opportunities and the exposure and the support that will help us to get the job done? There are training sessions that we have for all of our beginning teachers, in fact, all of our teachers, around culturally relevant teaching. So we try to give them information. We have opportunity for them to explore themselves first, look inside of themselves, because many of them have not come from a very diverse situation. And so we try to have them to look within inside of themselves. Who are you? What are you bringing? What's your culture? And how does your culture impact what you do in the classroom? So we have them first to start looking inside of themselves.
Do you see that transforming them?
I do, but it's a lot of coaching and a lot of support. In fact, we have to have things called courageous conversations. And in courageous conversations, what we do, we put the ideal of racism, we put the ideal of race out there, we talk about our beliefs, our assumptions, and we have those hard conversations, but we can only do that if the environment is inviting. So we create the environment so we can have these conversations. And so that thought is in my head. So when I enter my classroom, I'm thinking about all the things that my students could be thinking about. Some of our teachers are not only don't look like our students, but they come from different economics level.
Explain
so
that.
That's another issue. What I mean is that some of our teachers, many of our teachers are from middle class or higher. Many of our students here are from the lower socioeconomic standard. So they are not, our teachers are not cognizant of some of the struggles that some of our students are facing on a daily basis.
So that brings up the point that diversity isn't just about race. I mean, there are all kinds of varieties of diversity. And is racial diversity and economic diversity, are those the main ones that you would point to, or are there other disparities?
There are others. I think of terms of race, economics, language, and background.
Okay, talk about language and background.
As you know, we have a growing population of different cultures coming, especially to Kansas City, Kansas. At one point, I think we had over 40, 50 different languages here. So some of our students are entering our schools not understanding or speaking English at all. So that's one of the challenges that we have to work with. Another one would be about background, like the exposure. We have some of our students coming from different countries, and how they view their culture norms. So we have to understand the children, what customs are in place. So all of those take in place of what we have to do to better support our teachers in the classroom.
Do you know of any studies that demonstrate in a really compelling way that the race of a teacher makes a difference to students?
Well, I know of some studies. I read a book called How to Teach Students Who Don't Look Like You. It's Culturally Responsive Teaching Strategy by Bonnie M. Davis. Inside of her book, she quotes many of the leaders and researchers such as Lisa Delpech, Peggy McIntyre, Geneva Gay, Belinda Williams, and John Ogbu. And in those studies, in those research, what we find out that it does help if the teacher, you know, looks like the student.
But it help in what way?
It helps them to see, it builds their efficacy. So if I see someone teaching who looks like me, then I can say, oh, wow, I can do that. But it doesn't limit anything. I want to make that perfectly clear, because we have some fine educators in our district that don't look like our children and doing a phenomenal job. But what it does do, if the teachers look like their students, it gives some of our students hope that they can do it, that they can become successful. So it's kind of like a role model.
Are there any formal efforts underway to increase diversity among teachers locally?
Yes. Right now, on the student level, at the high school level, we have teaching academies. In the past, we've had like an engineering academy. We've had a medical academy. We've had business academy. Now we have teaching academy. And in the teaching academy, we have young people who want to go into education. So we are starting that process now. We're exposing them to be in the classroom. We're even supporting them with going into a classroom, regardless of what level they would like to explore in a classroom. They could go and visit a teacher. We're also supporting them by giving them opportunity to go to college to earn some of their college early graduate classes, college classes. So we are working even at the student level. Also, we are recruiting efforts. We go to many different universities to try to recruit different minority teachers, diversity in our teaching staff. But once we get them here, we try to educate them and support them. Some of our paraprofessionals in our district and some of our secretaries and others who are not at the certified level, we have had opportunity for them to be exposed to college there so that they can continue their education to want to be a teacher. So we're on purpose trying to not only work with the adults in our school district, but also with our students to expose them.
What are the obstacles to increasing diversity among teachers? I mean, it seems like that's not something that you can just decide that you want it to happen and it happens. It seems like a person and many people have to make the decision to go into this field, and that's not necessarily in someone else's control.
Right. What we should do or expose all of our young people to the notion that they can go to college. I think building their efficacy about how they get to become smart. It's not something, smart is not something you are. Smart is something you get. So if we help them to understand that college is for you, that you can go to school, and if we put support, like if we can talk to our local colleges to see if they would help get scholarships for our students or grants or some opportunity. We have a lot of students who want to go in into education. We have at our board meetings, we recognize our students, and we always ask, what do you want to do when you grow up? We have some of our students saying, I want to be a teacher. I want to come back because my teachers are impacting me. So I think we can really improve the awareness that they can go to school, they can go to college and come back home to teach.
Dr. Eva Tucker-Nevels and I are talking about a recent study that came out showing that the student populations in our nation's classrooms are becoming more and more diverse and that teacher populations aren't changing as dramatically. So we're seeing an increasing gap of diversity. They're calling it a diversity gap. And Dr. Tucker-Nevels, do you think it could be said that this is just a generational mirror of sorts? I mean, as America's population becomes more diverse, you would sort of logically see that a random assortment of 5-year-olds would be more diverse than a random assortment of, say, 40-year-olds. Or is that false reasoning on my part?
No, I think that's one way to think about it. I think so. But I think we also need to understand that the economics play a part in it. Many people will say with me that going into the field of education, you don't get very rich going into the field of education. So there are a lot of opportunities out there for our students, too. A lot of new careers have been established right now. So we're competing with some of the economic struggles that we're having in our country, but also the increasing awareness of new jobs that are coming down the pipeline that some of our young people are very, very interested in. So I think that's some of the rationale, also the diversity that's going on, the lack of diversity that's going on in some of our schools.
Is the role modeling issue the only one at play? I mean, it seems like there might be cultural differences of other sorts that would be a little more nuanced. Like, I've heard that some parents complain at times that teachers are either too strict or too easy on kids, and that that's particularly pronounced when there's a cultural difference between the family of the child and the teacher.
Well, I think the answer to that is the expectations that we hold for all of our students. When we look at our standards that we have set for all of our students, then all of our teachers must teach to those standards and beyond. So if we do what we need to do in the support role to help teachers to understand the level of rigor that we're trying to have in our instruction and the level of rigor that we want for our students learning, that discrepancy around a child having an experience with a teacher that's not pushing versus someone that is pushing, we can lessen that kind of result because we're all believing in our children and we're all teaching at that level of rigor that will prepare all of our children for success.
Well, Dr. Eva Tucker-Nevels, I want to get back to this issue of parental interactions with teachers in general in just a second, but I also want to let our listeners know that they are listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM, streaming live at kcur.org. We'd love to hear from the parents out there about the role that diversity of teachers plays in your child's classroom experience. Give us a call at 816-235-2888 to let us know whether having a teacher who looks like your child is important to you. At that number again, 816-235-2888. So, Dr. Tucker-Nevels, what about parental interactions in general? Can those be more tense than typical teacher-student interactions when a parent and teacher are of different races? Is that part of the dynamic?
It could be. And that goes back to having an awareness of the students that you're teaching. When sometimes parents feel that the teacher is not cognizant of my child, You don't understand my child's life. You don't you don't live in this area, so you don't. How can you understand? So what we do to support that is try to help all of our teachers understand that we have to build those relationships with those students, and that's key. Building relationships. We have to get to know our students, not just as students, but just as learners and as people. So that we can get past the academics, we can get past the this is what I do from 8 to 4:30. But we're educating, we're helping our students for life. So I think building a relationship will help lessen that tension that a parent could have with a teacher of a different diversity.
Is there something to be gained by having teachers who don't look like you? I mean, part of what we learn by leaving our homes and exploring a bigger world is how to live and work with people who are different from us.
Well, that's the way of the world I see, because many of our jobs now in the future, they're done on teams. So we have to value each other. We have to respect each other. We have to learn to get along and to respect different views. But those differences should not get in the way of the outcomes of what we're trying to accomplish. So, yes, I think there is something to be learned about having a variety, a different, you know, just a variety of experiences in a school so that we can prepare all of our students for the different workforces that they may encounter in the future.
It seems like teachers, I mean, getting used to a teacher who looks a certain way and comes from a certain background, it's sort of a frame. Teachers can be frameworks for who is safe in the world. Do you think that that's part of it?
It could be part of it, but I think that if I respect the student in the classroom and I have that relationship, many of our students will feel that my teacher cares about them.
Well, what is your advice for people of color in the teaching field where it looks like they're still in the minority? Are there tricky workplace dynamics for them?
It could be. It could be. But my recommendation is to speak your heart, but speak it in a way that we are trying to enrich the environment, that we are trying to work as a team. For the leaders, be inclusive. Think outside the box. Think within the box. Think all angles of what we're doing to educate our children. I think that's very, very important that we address the issue head on. I mentioned that sometimes we have conversations that are very courageous, and I think we need to engage in those conversations, because once I have an avenue or an outlet to talk about what's going on in a classroom or what's going on inside of a building, then I can address a lot of the issues. We don't want things to be hidden. When things are hidden, that's when I think the relationships are broken down.
It sounds like in a situation where there would be lots and lots of kids representing minority backgrounds and very few teachers, and in some cases maybe a sole teacher representing a minority background, that there would be kind of a hefty burden of responsibility to be that role model for a lot of students, to make every word and every gesture count. Or am I just describing what it's like to be a teacher, period?
I think you're describing what it means to be a teacher, but I do understand that. At one point of my career, I thought I represented every black female in the world, and everyone was looking at me through those lens. But those are things that I thought about. That wasn't necessarily true. There could be people out there who are thinking that, but I had to get in my head that I have a voice, I need to represent, and I need to speak out when I see some discrepancies.
How did you do that?
I just spoke out. I realized that I need to tell my story, my experiences, what happened to me, and how my parents helped me through the processes I was acclimating into society. So I told my story. We always talk about history. I would invite anyone to tell their story. And as you tell your story, tell it without putting judgment on someone else.
Well, in your case, what would be the story you would tell?
My story would be that we all can achieve. My story would be that if I believe in my students, if I believe in myself, and if I believe that if I work hard, I can achieve whatever goals I want. I need to engineer that kind of environment. I need to be a support to folks who are there in who work alongside me. I need to be a voice for our children. So that would be my story, that I must speak out. I must engineer the process for those to come.
Well, you've used an engineering metaphor. What are the tools for that? I mean, concretely speaking, what are the building blocks of that kind of process?
First of all, I need to establish relationships. Relationships that are meaningful in achieving the results that we want to achieve for all of our students and all of the folks that work in a school. Another building block for engineering is to study and understand the research that's out there on educating our children. Another block would be the sense of efficacy. Do I believe in myself, and do I believe in those students who are in front of me? So when I put all of those blocks together, I can engineer, I can cultivate a way to make it happen. The thing about engineering is that I'm not doing the work, I'm helping to move the process along. So I think that's part of what I should do with my story.
Yeah.
So that everyone has an opportunity, and the choice is mine. But it's not because someone else made the choice. It's I'm making the choice. I have the resources. I have all that it takes. I will make the choice. Sometimes choices are made for us.
Well, we were talking about the impetus for this show is a study showing that classrooms, in terms of students, are becoming very much more diverse, while the diversity of teachers isn't quite keeping pace with that. Do you see any local schools bucking that trend?
I don't see local schools bulking that trend, but I tell you what we're trying to do. We're trying to recruit more diversity. We're trying very hard in KCK public school.
What about programs like Teach for America? Do those kinds of programs affect the dynamics in classrooms? That program brings young college grads into urban classrooms, and some parents have concern that the teachers coming from those programs are from different backgrounds and therefore maybe don't understand their kids.
Well, as I stated before, if we bring teachers who are not like our children into the classroom, then as a system, we have to support them. We have to support those teachers. And I know they may not look like our children, but what can we do to help them to get to the level that they can understand the children that they are teaching? So I believe in professional learning, that we can help while we're going through this diversity gap.
That's all the time we have for today's conversation. Dr. Eva Tucker-Nevels, District Coach of Professional Learning for Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
To listen back to today's show, go to kcur.org/Central Standard. Stay current on Central Standard News by following us on Twitter. Our handle is @KCURCST. Tune in tomorrow as we look back on the surprising history of Mother's Day. We'll hear some poignant motherhood stories as well. I'm Gina Kaufman, and that's it for today. Stay tuned for Up to Date next.